dun 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 dun. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Science Us. My name is Ivan Decker.
And I'm Peter Carlone.
With me, as always, is Peter Carlone. We're at a time in our lives when we are recording a podcast. That didn't make any sense.
No, but that was technically true, and that is the best kind of true.
Yep. Right? Technical truth.
We are literally at the time in our lives when we record this podcast.
Yeah, you thought it was going to be philosophical, but it was not. It was just factual. That's like, I want to hear all of, like, just things that start like they're going to be philosophical and then just end up just being like a fact.
A truism.
Like when people are like, you know what? The best things in life are the things that you enjoy.
Yeah, and you're just like, oh yeah, well, I mean, that statement, while true, doesn't necessarily inspire me.
The best things in life are the things that you like the most.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some right now. Man, I'm not sharp today.
If you remember anything from
this is going to be a rowdy one.
So this episode, I'm going to deliver some science. We're going to talk about, this is actually a listener submitted. I mean, I guess we could call them users.
Look, if you're just joining us, this is an episode of Reboot. And a user dialed in a game. And game we're stuck in it.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to become nulls.
That show is the best.
The user's going to win for sure. I do like that the message behind that was like, hey, when you win games, you're ruining your computer.
It was terrifying. Yeah. That's like the same thing as watching the movie Chicken Run, where it's like, all of these chickens are wonderful things, and they're all hilarious and creative.
They all have their own personalities.
And they're like, wait a minute. Isn't it on a chicken farm? We're literally watching our food trying not to get eaten by us.
Yeah.
This is weird. This is some deconstruction that I do not want right now.
I like to keep everything under a blanket of ignorance.
Oh, absolutely. That being said, I do want to hunt one day. I want to go hunting once.
Yeah, I think
because
it would be
I
a
eat
good
meat,
idea.
And I want to prove to my brain that I'm okay with that. And if I can't do it, then I should maybe not eat meat.
Yeah, I think so.
I really hope I can do it because I love meat so much.
Yeah,
I think that's gonna make me okay with hunting.
I think everybody should have to make a hamburger at some point
in their life.
Like make the bread.
Yep.
Bake the bun.
Yep.
Grow the lettuce.
Absolutely. And kill the cow. Shoot the cow in the face.
Grind it up.
Cut a chunk of them off. Grind it up. If you can do all of that, oh man, that burger would taste so good.
Yeah, because it would have the fruits of your labor.
Oh, I really want burgers now. Ladies and gentlemen, this episode is brought to you by Wendy's Old Fashioned Hamburgers. Always fresh, never frozen. Also square.
And not old fashioned. That's not that old fashioned.
Is that? I think that they dropped that from their tagline.
Did they take old fashioned out?
Yeah, I think so.
That was A&W's thing for a long time. They were trying to be old fashioned. Hey, remember a time when hamburgers were not all about things in your life? Remember when it wasn't filled with stigma about how it was killing you?
Yeah.
Remember when nobody knew things about medical science or diabetes?
Yeah. And then you're standing at the till and you're like, yeah, A&W's, I do remember that. I also remember when it was only $1. So are we doing this or what?
How about I look the other way on all these health concerns? You drop the price to $1.50, I'll get in my Cadillac and go home.
Why don't you give me a 10-cent Coke, and then I'll patron your store.
Yes. All right, so we're on, this is not the topic we're discussing
this
week.
No, we got off topic.
This is what, a segment that Peter and I like to call Burger Tangent. Burger Tangent, it's a tangent about burgers.
Brought to you by Wendy's, old-fashioned A&W's.
Brought to you in part by McDonald's.
All right. Also, the other part of it.
Yeah, the other part of it.
The mechanically separated part.
So this
week, what are you
We have a listener asked us to do an episode about perpetual motion. Listener Chris Parker on Twitter contacted us. He's an engineer. So apologies in advance, Chris.
Oh, no.
We're dumb, and we're going to be wrong. So
wait, hold up. Chris Parker is an engineer.
Yeah, had a PhD.
And he has a PhD.
Yeah.
Oh, we should have him on the show.
Yeah, sure.
Who has...
He should just be doing this episode.
Who has a PhD in engineering.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know what you two clowns should do? Yeah. An episode about perpetual motion, a thing I know a lot about.
I'd love to hear you fumble your way in the dark through this topic.
Chris, if you listen to this, which it sounds like you do, you got to email us with some corrections, because I think that'd be funny to follow up on.
Yeah.
We release it. He emails us. We get back to him.
Yeah. So this is our episode about perpetual motion. Thank you, Chris, for submitting that idea.
I think he's setting us up.
Sure. Why not? It's going to be entertaining.
He's setting us up for failure.
That's kind of what we do. We are the whipping boys of science. People are like, see? The average person is dumb.
In the
more
best...
money for education. We're yes, making a
yes.
case.
Oh, that's a good point.
We're making a case.
Yeah, we are definitely the whipping boys in that the best use for us boys is to whip us.
Yes.
There is nothing
well,
better to do.
Look,
science.
I know that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell. That's what's important.
That's all we know. Do I know how to do my taxes? No.
Nope. I just know that the mitochondria, and then there's like other things in there too.
I think I
ribosomes
no.
is that
yeah,
are those the tiny things?
Lysosomes. I think those are the suicide sacs. Those are the ones that consume the cell if it goes wrong.
What?
Yeah, man, lysosome. It destroys the cell if it gets a signal saying like you done effed up now, sir. Kill yourself.
So, but then cancer means that those lysosomes aren't working
Boom.
Properly.
Right there. And you know that myth of like sharks don't get cancer? Turns out sharks can have
cancer. I didn't know that myth.
There was a
I'm
myth.
Like, you said that so cavalierly. Yeah, we all know sharks don't get cancer. What?
But basically,
no one's heard of that.
That's hilarious. I'm like, we all know sharks don't get cancer. Turns out they can. So it's like, you just said a thing and then undid it. Before.
That's the greatest. Yeah.
I swear to God, it's an old wives' tale. Or like a new wives'. It's a young wives' tale.
It's a young unmarried wives' tale.
It's an unmarried wives' tale. Which doesn't make sense either. But the sharks don't get cancer. But they do get cancer. But they have more checks and balances in place than we do. They've got a couple more processes that police their cells than we
okay.
do.
Okay. Yeah. What's the animal that gets the most cancer? Is it us?
No, I believe, now correct me if I'm wrong, but it might be the flying Macaque cancerotus.
Oh, yeah. That
which
thing.
Is a flying monkey who always gets cancer.
Yeah, the monkeys from The Wizard of Oz. They all had cancer. That's why they were so mad. Those wings were actually just vestigial tumors. Vestigial? That's not the right word.
Vestigial. Just leftover tumors that evolution didn't need.
Yeah.
Okay, so.
Aren't there a lot of plants that have cancer? Like, isn't that like when you have like knots and stuff?
Oh, I think so.
Trees,
tubers are... No, that's a different thing.
Tuber is a potato.
Listen, how do I turn this mic off? Is there a switch to turn this mic off?
Tuber is a yam or potato.
We haven't even gotten to the thing that Chris wanted us to piss him off about, and we've probably already pissed him off.
Yeah, of course. He's like, it's not even my field, biology, but you're already ruining that.
I'm an engineer, and I know that Peter is talking out of his ass.
I hope a shark with cancer eats you.
And it cures him of cancer.
Yeah.
I hope sharks are like, man, you should be eating more humans. Yeah. They're loaded with antioxidants.
Humans are the broccoli of the shark world.
I think humans are the... No. We're so fat. We're definitely the like...
But like broccoli is what people tell you that it cures cancer.
Yeah, it's true.
Or it doesn't cure it, but it prevents it.
Prevents
it's
it.
Like somebody
you know what?
Growing in an alkaline
Somebody
environment.
Out there is telling you that broccoli cures cancer.
Sure.
Not you specifically, but there's hippies out there saying all sorts of dumb things.
Yeah. Well, you know how broccoli doesn't get cancer?
I don't know that anymore. There's so much I don't. I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty
that,
sure
like,
I basically just don't know.
Cauliflower and broccoli are supposed to be really good to prevent cancer, but they look like cancer. Like
just a blooming, uncontrolled growth.
Cauliflower looks like a tumor.
It's yeah.
Like, hey, eat this thing.
You know what always turned me off as a kid about cauliflower is that it kind of looked like brains. Like it looked like the shape of a brain. It didn't look like brains.
Yeah.
You know, but it looked like the shape of it. And
I don't know.
Like,
that's
nah.
kind of the reason I liked wontons, because they kind of look like a little brain.
So you like eating them?
Covered in pasta.
You got a weird thing going.
Yep.
Bit of a creep, they might say you
yeah,
are.
Yeah, like eating tiny brains makes me feel smart.
So, Chris, basically what a perpetual motion machine is.
Yeah, we're going to talk about perpetual
okay,
motion.
Okay, but you got ready for me, so
I've
science
done a little bit of research
here we go.
On perpetual motion. For those of you that don't know, which I'm sure there aren't anybody, because everybody kind of knows, perpetual
I mean, it's
motion...
Got, it's the, in the word.
Yeah, it's basically the idea of a machine. A perpetual motion machine is something that never stops. It's just a some sort of system, a closed system, in which an object like a wheel or a chain or a ball is just constantly moving. A lot of them involve magnets to keep the flow going, but sometimes, usually gravity is part of it too. It'll have like,
okay.
They'll have weights that are arranged in a certain way that on the wheel, when it's moving against gravity, the weight is not near the outside of the wheel. It goes towards the inside so that it's easier to lift than it is to fall, if that makes sense. So
oh, and then when it gets to the apex or whatever,
yeah,
then the weight falls to the outside.
The weight will fall to the outside and then
pull the wheel down,
cause it to accelerate a little more. Now, these systems are all impossible according to the laws of thermodynamics, which state that energy cannot be created or destroyed, and there's always going to be some energy loss due to friction. So the only way that a perpetual motion machine would work would be for it to be functioning in a frictionless environment, which would mean that you would not be able to harvest any of that energy anyway. Because one of the ideas behind a perpetual motion machine is that you get it spinning and then have it powering something. So basically it's an unlimited source of energy.
Hilarious, hilarious stuff on Science Us.
That was okay. Me setting you up for a joke.
And I did a joke. I did a good job, right?
Yeah.
But the joke was a meta joke. It was commenting on that I didn't have a joke for immediately afterwards.
Yeah.
But I still think comedically that the moment worked.
I think it was all right.
Okay, great.
comedy science-wise.
Talking about it afterwards didn't work so well, but it's still going okay.
I think it's going all right. We're keeping the energy up. We're not missing any beats.
Okay, this is going to be interesting because I'm not sure. I feel like maybe you are going to defend to me that to the... Not to put words in your mouth, but I feel like you're pretty into them. I feel like maybe you think they're possible, and I'm on the other side of the fence.
Yeah. Obviously, I don't think that they're possible.
No, I think you do. No, I'm kidding.
Scientifically, it's impossible. It's been stated. These are laws of thermodynamics.
But
it can't happen. But
there
can be things that are like not quite perpetual motion. Like I feel like out there could be something that runs, say it doesn't, it'll eventually stop, but it'll go for like 100 years.
Right.
There's like engines and stuff. You know how you go to like those...
Perpetual-ish motion.
Yeah, I went to a, this is like a pretty weird off-topic thing.
Broccoli is...
I went to like this farm, I was doing comedy.
It is gonna be about broccoli.
No, I was doing comedy in a city, and there was, like, this farm convention thing where, like, people just bring out stuff, and they're like, look at this thing! And it was, like, this weird tractor that had been running for, like, 100 years.
Oh.
And it was, like, it ran on water, apparently. What? But it was, like, just this piece of garbage. It was, like, a tiny little... It looked like a little car, and it was sputtering, and it would, like, move around. Every single time the engine fired, I thought it was going to explode. I was like, this seems dangerous. Why is this here?
It's been just about exploding for 100 years now.
It's almost killed me every day of my life.
Every single day. Still alive, though. Every day is a gift.
Yeah.
Thank you, Farmer John. So, but did the tractor do stuff? Did he till his field?
Just spinning a wheel.
Oh, okay.
There was a wheel on it. Now, it's not perpetual motion because it had an engine. And
you had to keep fueling it.
Yeah, they had to keep putting water in it, but... I don't know. It seemed pretty crazy.
But it seems like, well, it's like, and that's why it was worth showing people. And I think, and now we're talking about it. So there it is. It's famous. It's immortal.
But a lot of the, like, perpetual motion, they're not just a flywheel. Like, sometimes it's a system in which water goes down and, like, it goes in a circle. Basically, there's a reservoir of water and then a hose through gravity drains. But then because of the suction and the force and the momentum of the liquid, it will push its way back up.
So,
the tube and then go back into the reservoir. I mean, the thing about these perpetual motion machines, they're all kind of a waste of everything.
That's what I was about to challenge you with here, is because it's like we saw some small versions of them on the internets.
Yeah.
You showed me some videos, which hopefully we're going to post. I think we should post those.
Yeah, I'll post some videos. All sure.
Because they're cool. They're cool to look at. But my question now becomes, what's the point? What's the point?
Yeah, well, I mean, the point is we're always, as humans, we're in the pursuit of unlimited energy, right? We want a source of energy. Now, I think that
that's different than perpetual motion, because that's like perpetual motion, but it's so perpetual that it's also putting out extra power.
Yeah, that we're taking and harvesting.
Right.
Or kind of, taking the byproduct of something that is perpetual. Like the tides, the ocean currents, for example, that is perceived to be perpetual. It kind of just always happens. There's always going to be, like, the moon going around the Earth. That's pretty perpetual. I mean, obviously there's a lot of forces, and eventually, at some point, the moon will either crash into the Earth or go hurtling off into space. Probably the sun will explode before that happens. But in the meantime...
Or the whole thing will just slow down too much to be noticeable anymore.
Yeah.
In, like, a billion years.
And then the moon will crash into the Earth.
Okay, so what did Sam said, because we had Sam, the live podcast episode, a couple episodes back, and he said that we have, like, what, we've got 1 billion or 2 billion years left before the sun explodes.
Yeah, we got quite a bit of time. So
until that happens, the solar system is kind of a perpetual motion thing.
Yes. Yeah. That is perpetual. I mean, there are things that affect the speed at which things...
Right.
Rotate, revolve around other celestial bodies. Space elevators might slow down
space elevator
rotation. So there's all kinds of things like that. But I think the idea in there is that we want to try to harvest that energy. So harvest the energy that the moon's gravitational pull. A lot of this has
that's the thing, though. It has to be better than just barely resetting itself. Like, the wheel can't just barely spin back up to its starting position before it spins down again.
Yeah.
It has to be doing it so much that we can also put a draw on it.
Yeah, and I think a lot of it has to do with
power.
Magnets. Having magnets.
Mm-hmm.
And we basically harvest that energy. I mean, most electrical energy...
It's like we use magnetic fields, magnetic energy to make something move perpetually, and then we lean into that system a little bit to pull out kinetic or you know, like basically like a spinning motor to generate electricity, like a wind turbine or something to heat water like most other power generation.
Well, on top of perpetual motion is also the idea of perpetual acceleration. A system that you get started and then it just keeps accelerating.
That kind of happens in space a little bit, maybe? Or no?
Yeah.
Not perpetual acceleration.
Well, like, but... I mean, you look at, like, the way that when something is heading towards the center of a vortex, right? It's going to spin faster and faster and faster and faster when water's going down the drain or when you flush your turlet.
The old turlet.
Coriolis effect. Those things.
I think we're also, we're missing... one extra, like a larger piece to this.
Which is?
The Lord Jesus Christ. I think with prayer, we can get some more of these things working. We can get some more perpetual motion working.
I mean, it's a rough theory, obviously. There's a lot of holes in all of these theories.
The Jesus one or the making of
Look,
perpetual?
Any of them. The only perpetual acceleration we can be sure of is that we are all perpetually accelerating towards death.
Oh, absolutely.
So
maybe,
once
though,
again,
I got the next episode. I got a plan for an episode.
Once
later.
Again, the only surety in science is the depressing truth of mortality
and taxes, or whatever that expression is.
Yeah, death and taxes.
Yeah,
I mean, but someday robots will do all of our taxes, so
and they'll do our dying for us as well.
Or we'll die and go inside robots.
Ooh, I'd love to go inside a robot.
Every episode, I'm gonna try to refer to the idea that when we all die, our brains are gonna go into robots.
Well, I mean, you're taking away because I'm doing work for the next episode later on, and I was gonna talk about that stuff.
Well, it's okay. I'm gonna bring it up again.
Okay. So yeah, every episode we've brought that. I think one of the major like conclusions from season one of Science Us is going to be that robots are the future.
Yeah, oh, of course.
Whether we make them and they go off and become the next evolution, or we get inside of them, and we become the next.
We all are just inside one robot.
Cool.
And that becomes God.
And then we make the planet Earth perpetual motion. Oh my God. I was right. Oh, my whole Lord Jesus Christ joke turned out to be true. We become God that creates man in our image, which is us.
Yeah.
Perpetual motion. I feel like I'm high. I feel like
that's
like,
the idea. That's the goal of this.
I feel like
podcast.
I'm coming off like I'm high right now. But just let's follow through just for a second, just in case.
Of course. That's the idea.
We grow to a point where we're so powerful that we can create universes inside of our universe.
Yeah.
So we create a universe because somebody created this universe. So we create a universe and we fill it with the building blocks of life, DNA and oxygen and hydrogen, blah, 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 carbon, all the stuff necessary.
Those four.
That's not what I meant. I was making a list of things. Okay, that's what I meant, I guess.
Everybody knows if you want to make a universe,
you need oxygen.
DNA, oxygen, hydrogen, carbon. Put them in a blender, new universe.
What I meant was we create a universe where we put in the mechanics that our universe has.
Yeah.
And we create it and we're looking at it and we're like, okay, so we've essentially created things after our own likeness.
Mm-hmm.
We watch that universe for a bit. After a while, our universe dies heat death, you know, goes all, you know, black or white or whatever happens to it, where it just like runs out of energy.
Yeah.
But that universe that we created continues on. And inside that universe, those guys move forward until they reach a
just
level
just guys.
Evolution.
There's not going to be any women.
Those males.
In our new universe.
Those male humans, which is what we've created apparently, go on. And then they get to a point where they're advanced enough, they create a universe.
Yeah, and then that one dies.
And then they fill that with oxygen and hydrogen and DNA. And then they do the same thing over. That's perpetual motion.
So it's all, yeah, I mean, a lot of it has to do with, is everything cyclical? Does everything go in a circle?
Oh, it has to be, maybe.
The idea of also, one of the theories of the universe expansion is that the universe is slowing down. There was the Big Bang, everything's moving away from the center.
The Big Crunch, the Big
and
Rip.
And then eventually everything's going to slow down and then start to contract. And it's going to come all the way back down, and then it's going to explode again, and it's going to go
well,
out,
those are, there's a bunch of different ones, right? There's the Big Crunch is that one where it all collapses back in on itself.
And then explodes again.
Yeah, and then explodes again, and then, ooh, it's again. The big rip is where it just all, everything spaces out so far that every molecule has like an essentially infinite amount of space in between every other molecule. And then it becomes just uselessly nothing.
Yeah, just like a bunch of sand on the kitchen floor.
Yeah, just uselessly nothing.
Yeah.
And then some interstellar dog walks through it and brings it into the living room.
Ah! Interstellar dog.
Interstellar dog.
It's a good thing you're so cute.
Today's episode has been brought to you by Christopher Nolan's Interstellar Dog, the new movie he's making.
Interstellar Dog.
And then the other one, I think, is heat death, where just everything turns to heat. All the energy in the world is not a useful form of energy anymore.
It's just heat.
Just heat. Heat death is actually...
It seems useful.
Well, heat death, I don't think it means that everything gets super hot.
Yeah.
I think it's just a term for what happens where everything gets turned into heat and then it just turns into nothing. So like all the molecules just eventually stop moving. It actually gets very cold.
Okay.
And nothingness.
Well, I kind of only talked about the first law of thermodynamics in
we're still,
perpetual motion.
Okay, let's get back to perpetual motion.
Going back to that. It also violates the second law of thermodynamics.
Oh, so it's another layer of impossible.
Yeah. So there's two layers of impossibility around
there's probably more,
perpetual
but...
motion. And the second law of thermodynamics, of course, is that there's always going to be an increase in the sum of entropies in the participating systems, which means that they're always going to have a tendency towards randomness. There's going to always be everything's going to kind of even out, and so it can't stay specifically in the system that it was established. Like you can theorize it, you can draw it on paper if you want.
Yeah.
But it's not going to work
because I think even that wheel
going to be heat loss.
Yeah, well the spinning wheel one you were talking about where the weights move from the outside of the wheel to the inside to the center of the wheel, it's great, it works perfectly. However, at a certain point you're losing a little bit of energy in where the wheel is attached.
And it's going to dissipate.
And it's going to So over many many years that little turning wheel, the spot where the spoke or wherever where it's attached is going to get slower and slower. The axle, not the spoke. Listen, I don't know much about bikes. We're bringing in a bike scientist later.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about bicycles. A lot of...
That could be an interesting episode. I don't know. Maybe you'll talk about why fixies are good or something.
How bicycles work. Are fixies good?
I don't
thought
know.
They were really bad for your knees.
Yeah, well, if you watch Joseph Gordon-Levitt's movie Premium Rush, he would defend why they're good.
Oh, is that in the movie?
I think they're probably bad.
I think
he's a bike messenger.
You can't slow down as fast on a fixie because it doesn't have brakes.
In the movie, he says stopping is what kills you, not speed.
Yeah, of course. That's like a car racing thing.
So if you have brakes on your bike, you're stopping a lot more. If you have a fixie, you're not stopping as much.
You're just moving.
You're just moving.
Keeping
going
like
with the flow.
You're gonna be like water.
Yeah.
Like what Bruce Lee said.
I think he gets horribly injured in that movie though.
Put
so it kind of undoes
cup,
his premise.
It becomes the cup.
Yeah.
Put water in a bowl, it becomes the bowl. Be like water.
Become a bowl.
Become
if somebody puts you in a bowl, become bowl shaped.
Yeah. That's the key to life.
And also, very slowly over millions of years, wear away at rocks.
Yeah.
Okay, we got way off topic. What I was trying to say is, after a while, in the perpetual motion machine, because of what you said, the second law, entropy there.
Yes.
The wheel's going to stick. The wheel's going to slow down. It's going to wear into the axle. Things are going to get loose. It's not going to work.
Yeah.
However, perpetual-ish motion is possible in the same way as our... universe or our solar system.
Yeah.
Where it's like perpetual, but for a limited time. So the word perpetual meaning forever doesn't work anymore, but it's like perpetual-ish. I don't know. I'm on board with my new word that I've smithied.
Perpetual-ish?
Perpetual-ish.
Well, perpetual acceleration, this is the thing.
Oh, dear. We're going back to this one.
If you think about it, the Earth, the Moon, all of those things are already in a state of perpetual acceleration. Because if something is on a circular
perpetual-ish.
Path... if something's on a circular path, if you look at it at any moment in time, it has... it's in a state of constant acceleration. It's always accelerating.
Oh,
because gravity's pulling it.
Right.
There's a force acting on it.
Okay. Until it slams into the... Yeah, but aren't some things slowing down?
No. Nothing. Everything's speeding up.
Chris, we're going to need you to email us here and tell us. And literally, email us as short an answer as possible to the question, are things slowing down? Like, is the moon slowing down?
The moon slowing down is everyone's faith in our ability to know anything.
This might be the one that does it. Or no, we had one a long time ago where we were trying to talk about types of plants and fruits and something.
Yeah.
Do you remember that episode?
Fruit and ghost classifications.
I think that was where we lost all of our...
credibility?
Faith. Yeah, all of our credibility was gone.
You're like, wow, they really have made the hiring processes pretty lax at these science organizations that these gentlemen have worked at.
Which we... Oh, dear. Yeah, we probably shouldn't advertise...
We can't say the name.
We shouldn't advertise the science organizations that we work for.
Yeah. But that's a little piece of history. Just... based on what you just heard us do and say, we both used to work
with science. Oh, no, you're telling them.
No, I'm just saying we used to work with science, which is astounding and kind of depressing. So
here's the thing, though. We worked with science, but our job was to impart it, not to create it or know it.
Yeah, that's true.
We were given
scripts.
Well,
science can never be created or destroyed. It can only change forms.
You're talking about energy, not science. Well, science can't.
But anything.
Oh, yeah, because science can't be created because science isn't a thing. Science is a process. So, science can only be discovered.
I feel like you could create science.
Science fiction.
Just gotta get, like, some tubes.
You know what? This episode is not brought to you by Wendy's. This episode is brought to you by marijuana. Legalizeit.ca.
Neither of us are high.
We promise.
Yeah, but I think if you're high and you're listening to this, maybe you'll like it more.
Chris, you gotta get high before this episode. I mean, maybe what I just said should be edited and put up front.
Get in a time machine.
Yeah.
Which we'll invent once perpetual motion is figured out.
Perpetual time machining. Time? Okay, let's not get into time.
So there are people out there that have created perpetual motion. It's been a thing. It was only...
Again, I say, though, perpetual...
Up until 1847, everybody thought that it was possible because the first and second laws of thermodynamics had not been established yet. And so it was a very sought-after pursuit. Everybody was trying to come up with it because they would, you know, of course, wanted to transfer it into transportation, things like that. Also, even just as, like, an art collector, it would be cool to just have a thing
that's you don't have to maintain it.
A thing. You're like, look at this thing. It's always doing the thing.
You take people through your rarely used atrium, and it's there moving.
Yeah.
Still moving.
There it is. Yeah. People are like, ooh, what a fancy widget you have there.
What a widget.
What a neat collectible.
Yeah, I like it. I think that I wonder what kinds of science, like perpetual motion, are current things, like things that we think that are very possible that we're pursuing that are going to turn out have a law restricted that we don't know about.
Well, this is the thing about
science.
Like,
what about fusion?
Science loves to say that things are impossible because it's the easiest answer.
Right.
It's very easy to just be like, oh, now it's impossible. It's the same with like when you're in a relationship, when you're like, ah, there's a big problem. Better just break up. Why don't we fix it? Nah, it's impossible. It's never going to work.
But what you might be saying is that's bad science. Like, good science would be people like, well, let's find out how, like it's tested until
we're sure it's
impossible.
I don't want to be like, you know, a dreamer and be like, nothing's impossible. Because, yeah, there are some things that's impossible. I can't just snap my hands and make a bunch of scorpions appear.
You guys?
I would like that power.
I don't know if you saw what just happened, but Ivan just snapped his finger and two scorpions appeared. He said a bunch, so he is still wrong.
Yeah.
But
I can only make a couple appear.
I can only make a couple appear at a time. Well, that's my problem with that whole... If you put an unlimited number of monkeys in a room for an unlimited amount of time, they'll create Shakespeare. It's like, guys, let's talk about useful things. That's not going to actually happen.
Well, yeah. I mean, where would you get an unlimited number of monkeys?
And all those typewriters.
That's a lot of typewriters.
Not to mention the fact, unlimited amount of time, those typewriters are going to break down.
Yeah.
Like,
you can't have a perpetual typewriter.
It's not a useful discussion. to say, to put things in the realm of possibility by saying anything could happen given enough time. That's not fair.
Yeah, and also unlimited. That's, you've already now moved it from the realm of reality.
That's a good point.
Because nothing is unlimited. There's no such thing as unlimited.
If you gave, so like in our last episode, Sam Best gave us, what, 2 billion years or something left on this planet?
Yeah.
So if you, even if that's not unlimited, so if you gave, you know, 100,000 monkeys 2 billion years, they still, I don't think, would create a single line of Shakespeare.
I don't know.
Come on.
What if they evolved into Shakespeare?
I guess for 2 billion years, they
over
would probably...
Over 2 billion years?
You know what would happen?
Those primates...
Not even 10,000 years in, they would figure out how to communicate, and then one of them would be like, hey, what the hell are you guys trying to get us to write down? Can we, if we write it down, will you just let us go? And
yeah.
Like, a line of Shakespeare. And they'd be like, okay, like, well, there's 100,000 of us, so 20,000 of you guys attack the north wall,
yeah,
get out, find a Shakespeare book, figure out the line, let's write the line down, yeah, let's just get out of here.
They just destroy an entire wall, they murder everybody, and then somebody's going through the wreckage, and then one of the typewriters has the paper, and it says, shall I compare thee to a summer's day? And that's the end of the movie.
Except the problem is...
directed by Peter Carlone.
No, that would be if it was directed by, like, Christopher Nolan, because he loves a nice wrapped-up ending. If it was directed by me, the piece of paper would say, shall I compare these to a summer's dap? And they'd be which one letter off.
It's like an Inception ending, like, yeah, you just leave it. Maybe? Ah, they were
they
so
got
close.
They got close, but they were monkeys.
But then they murdered everyone.
And then the credits would read, Peter Carlone, directed by Peter Carlone. And then the next line of the credits would be, sorry, sorry, sorry.
And then it cuts to Charlton Heston at the Statue of Liberty going, you maniacs!
You maniacs!
You blew it up!
You let and him direct!
It, and then it zooms in on the Statue of Liberty's face, and it's actually Shakespeare's face.
Yeah, and then the credits roll again, and it's directed by Peter. No, directed by, that segment was directed by Ivan Decker. And then under that it says, sorry, sorry, sorry.
I would love a movie that's the credits are just sorry, 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 sorry.
Just like twist, 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 credits, twist, credits, twist.
Yeah.
Sorry, sorry, sorry.
So great.
Oh my God. Okay, this conversation about perpetual emotions is perpetually getting off of perpetual emotion.
Yeah, entropy.
That's a good point. This is what would happen to the perpetual motion that is Ivan and Peter talking.
The perpetual motion machine that would be boring. That's, you'd be like,
yep.
Because the thing is if it is perpetual motion, like, it's just, that means that it's a lot of rotations or a lot of, basically it's a loop, right?
Right.
So how many revolutions, how many completions of that loop are you going to watch before you're like, I got other stuff that I got to do? So you don't need to make a perpetual motion machine. Just make one that does it 30 times. No one's watching 30 revolutions.
And slowly and boringly. Don't make it an exciting perpetual motion, because then people will watch it till it slows down.
Yeah, but it's like, oh, no. If it's just like a wheel that slowly turns, you're just going to watch that and be like, ugh. Okay.
I don't have time to prove that this won't go on forever, so I'm going to let this just be a thing that went on forever.
I'm just going to say it's impossible, and I'm going to leave.
So
this is boring.
To conclude that, Chris, assumed perpetual motion machines are very possible because you'll get bored and look away.
Yeah.
Perpetual-ish motion is very possible, like a solar system.
Yeah, perpetual-ish.
Huh?
Absolutely.
Perpetual-ish.
It's a new term we've coined.
True perpetual motions, I don't know. I'm still thinking they're out.
I'm going to say that if we were to find the correct system in which to do it, maybe it's possible. You know, maybe in a vacuum with
no friction.
Yeah,
right.
If we could somehow create that.
In a computer.
Yeah, but on Earth, not happening. Too much
I like
crazy
how you said
stuff.
That. On Earth, that's not happening.
Not on this planet, Buster.
Where are you going to make it, huh? Iraq, that place is getting bombed all the time. It's an unsafe place. There's nowhere safe to make this thing work.
Nowhere safe. Maybe in the core. Maybe in the center of the Earth.
Ooh, maybe.
The center of the Earth is a perpetual motion machine.
Perpetual-ish.
Perpetual-ish. Because it's rock. What about the rock cycle of like cooling and then melting?
But I mean, at some point, like that is, you know, losing energy every time. At some point, it's going to get all nasty and hard or something.
Yeah, volcanoes. Right?
We got to get somebody back on here. We got to get a guest on.
We got to
get I want to know how the planet dies.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure it goes before the solar system.
The planet?
Sure.
No, I think the sun's going to blow up before the Earth just shuts down.
Really?
Unless we stop it by anchoring too many space elevators.
But I just thought at some point...
Or one space elevator makes it stop spinning.
At some point, wouldn't we just, like Mars, like cook off the atmosphere?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. I mean, if we were somehow, if the rotation of the Earth somehow moved out of the Goldilocks zone.
Which it might with some space elevators.
But then we all get to leave and go to Mercury.
Ah, which will have pulled into the Goldilocks zone.
Or you know, Venus, whatever.
Whatever. We'll just move to one of those.
What's the other one that's between the Sun and Earth?
Mercury.
No, there's another one.
Damn it.
Mars. It's Mars is closer to the
Sun. Listen, we don't need...
It goes Mercury, Mars, Earth, Venus. How do I not know this?
Oh, don't
this
ask me.
This is like grade 4 curriculum.
I know at the start of this episode we said that we could definitely talk about grade 4 stuff. I think we can't even do that.
No, Mercury, Mars, Venus, no, Earth. We're third because of that sitcom. That's how I know that one.
Third rock from the sun. They're just on Venus. Nothing's happening.
Venus is fourth.
Fourth rock from the sun.
Mercury. I know about Mercury because I did a project on Mercury.
I want this episode to end. This is how I want the episode to end. I want you to start figuring out the order of planets, and it's going to fade into music. It's going to fade into the end of the world. It's the end
never
of
needed anyone. Mercury is an interesting celestial body because a year on Mercury is actually shorter than a day.
Oh.
Like, it takes less time for the planet to revolve around the sun than it does to make a full rotation.
Oh, less than a Mercury day.
Yeah.
So not less than a Earth day.
Yeah, less than, it's going real fast.
I was thinking, like, that thing cycles around the sun in 24 hours.
It's really nailing it. That's why it just looks like the sun has a ring around it like Saturn.
Yeah, that would be the most dangerous planet.
Yeah.
Okay, so, conclusions. Perpetual-ish, yes. Like a solar system or a universe.
Yeah.
But even the universe itself has entropy within it that will eventually, you know, shut down. So perpetual-ish.
Yeah.
What?
I tried
you
to
make a motion
up.
Like I. You made I a motion to... like I didn't know what I was talking about.
No. I don't know if you were watching the computer, but I was trying to look up the planets, and then I opened a link, and it just disappeared off of my computer. Like I'm not supposed to know.
Serve you right for looking stuff up. Oh yeah, guys. Just so you know, after the first couple episodes, we decided to stop looking stuff up.
Yep.
So we've, and I think that lends it to the comedy. But it also has tripled my fear because now I basically just have proven that I have no idea what I'm talking about.
We really got to research ahead of time, which I did. I did a bunch of research.
Excellent work.
On perpetual motion.
Excellent research ahead of time.
Yeah, of course. I can say things Ivan like Becker. Uniform thermodynamic temperature of a closed system.
You guys,
during
he took notes. He's right. He's reading off a
dividing
paper.
An incremental reversible transfer of heat into that system.
He's lying. He's reading off a thing.
All the time. That happens all the time. That was right off the top of... I was spitting off the dome.
We're so smart.
All right, everybody. So in conclusion, perpetual motion, like we said, I think it's possible in the correct circumstance. Unfortunately, the correct circumstance is impossible. So there you go.
Nice. And I agree. I'm on the same side of that.
I think that we should just dream about something bigger than a wheel that always turns.
Yeah, let's make, if it's perpetual motion, surprise us. Come up with a better thing than that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, let's fade it into music while you try to figure out the order of planets.
Mercury.
Have a great day,
Mars,
you guys.
Mars. Earth. Venus.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Then the asteroid
Email
belt.
Us whenever you want. If you have any questions or if you have an idea for an episode,
Saturn.
Tweet at us, just like Chris.
Jupiter.
Thanks, Chris, for this idea, this week's episode.
Uranus,
you're
Neptune.
The best.
That's the nine. There's nine. And then Pluto is the dwarf planet.
For all of us to
left
you.
Left out a planet.
Goodbye, guys.
Did I forget a planet?
I think of all the friends I've known. But when I dial the telephone, nobody's home.